Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Ty Bannerman. From baking and chocolate making to grand gestures, Valentine's Day is a time when people go out of their way to show that they care. On this week's Let's Talk New Mexico, we will hear how a Valentine's tradition in Albuquerque celebrates a whole community and how love itself can be a radical act. And we want to hear from you. Tell us about the loves in your life and how you are celebrating them this week. Or if you're not such a fan of Valentine's Day, we want to hear about that too. How would you rather love be celebrated in our society? Call us at 277-KUNM, that's 277-5866, or email letstalk@kunm.org. Now I'd like to welcome my first guest, Melo Sanchez, who is just launching a new business, Over the Moon Macarons. Also, full disclosure, she is a volunteer DJ here at KUNM. Thanks for coming in today, Melo.
Thanks for having me, Ty.
So tell me how you got started baking.
Both my grandmothers, one of them was like a serious New Mexican cook and the other one was a serious baker. And growing up for Christmas, my grandmother always baked. She's on my mother's side. And it was like magic. Like, I just never understood. Like, I would go home and the next day there would be like hundreds of cookies and snacks. I don't know. It just intrigued me. So as I grew up, I just kind of wanted to do something I loved. And I decided if I have to do something that 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, it's going to be something I love. So I chose baking. And that was part of the reason for my grandmother, like, inspiring me.
And is this something that you can, like, express love through?
Oh, absolutely. That was the other part of it is, you know, there's not very many opportunities to, there is and there's not, to share things that you love with people. And cooking and baking was one of those things. It was like, I can put this in here and make these things for people and they don't even know what I'm thinking about when I'm making it, but I'm making it and they're going to eat it. And I don't know why it really comes through. And I'm not really sure how to express that, but it's like that movie, like Water for Chocolate. I think that really, I didn't see that until way after I was baking. So
it did not inspire you, but you were already feeling that.
Yeah. it's really special for me to like make stuff. You stir it, you put the spices in or whatever, and then you infuse it with your love.
And so tell me, why are you specializing in macarons?
So with the macaroons, I took the class at Three Sisters Kitchen, and I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. But with the macaroons, there's so many different ways to infuse spices and flavors. And one of the things that I particularly wanted to do was use New Mexican flavors, like green chili, red chili. There's just a lot of different ways to use colors and flavors with macaroons.
Is it fair to say that you're also kind of infusing these things with your love of the state?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's kind of why I also picked the macaroons, because you can do so many things with macaroons, but the one thing with macaroons, there's many people doing them here, but I just wanted to do New Mexican flavors. Mm-hmm. And seasonal things as well. That's like one of my important things as a chef, is like seasonal, regional flavors.
And do you have any kind of Valentine's baking plans?
I was going to make bizcochitos.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is bizcochitos a good Valentine's Day? I mean, we think of those as Christmas.
More Christmas, but I made chicharrones a couple weeks ago, and I got all the fat from the chicharrones, and I was like, I can't just throw this beautiful fat away. So my coworker was all, dude, take it home and make something with it. And I was like, oh, bizcochitos. So, because it takes a while, like anything that, you know, is good takes a while.
So do you have any kind of favorite memories from when your family was baking that made you feel loved, or other kinds of situations where someone was baking?
Yeah, making gingerbread houses.
Yeah.
We would just always buy a bunch of candy.
Uh-huh.
And they would never come out like, they're not like all, this is way before Food Network.
But right.
they're always ugly. You see the little picture on the house and it gives you the guide and they look terrible. But it was like so fun to like try to get the walls to stand mm-hmm. up with the icing. And when I finally went to pastry school, I was laughing. I told my chef, I was like, oh, royal icing, which is just pretty much sugar, powdered sugar and water. That's the cement of pastry, guys, by the way.
Yes.
But I didn't know that when I was a kid. So, I don't know. It's just really fun to, like, put candy on things and hopefully the walls don't fall down. And right. I don't know. That was my most favorite thing. So when I got to grow up and go to pastry school and make my own gingerbread house, it was, I don't know.
We tend to think of that as a Christmas time thing as well, but I don't see any reason why you couldn't make a Valentine's Day gingerbread house.
That's true.
Just put red candy on it.
I made it was one of my finals in pastry school, and it was a gingerbread house. And so I made like a ghost house. You know, they have the false storefronts. Mm-hmm. So I did like a pumpkin patch.
Oh, why not?
Yeah, it wasn't Christmas or Valentine's. And my chef at the time, she's like, why did you put green grass? It's supposed to be fall. I was going to school in LA and I was like, oh, well, it's freaking California. The grass is green all the time. And she was like, oh, my God. She was so annoyed, but also thought it was funny. So,
well, we have Joe calling in from Albuquerque. Joe is a poet and has a Valentine's Day poem for us. Good morning, Joe.
Hi, good morning. Yes, I'd like to share this original poem for Valentine's Day. To Ellen, my Valentine, there you are, brighter than the most shining star.
I love it. Beautiful. Do you want to share a little bit more about who that poem is to?
It is to my wife, Ellen. We got married on June the 4th, 2016.
Oh, so this is a new thing.
We wanted a June wedding, and it was really great because there were sun showers, and there was somebody, she was making showers, and the sun was shining, and we got a free ride on the paratransit van because they said anyone who's got married today, they don't have to pay.
Nice. Very good. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Joe. Going back to you, Mello, was there ever a time when say, Valentine's Day lost some of its charm for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Want to tell me a little bit about that? Or?
Ooh, that's a little tough.
Okay.
But I will. All right. I was engaged once, and I got out of engagement. The person I was with ended up cheating on me with my friend. Mm. Sorry. And found out that they were at the place that we used to go to for Valentine's Day. And that was really hard.
Yeah.
So, like we spoke on the phone, I tried to, my sister and her friends were like, let's make Valentine's cards for each other and for us.
Yeah.
And that was that same year, and that really helped. And so I kind of just tried to recreate Valentine's Day for myself and for the people I care about. It doesn't always have to be about, you know, romance.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I mean, I feel like that's a really kind of important thing to take Valentine's Day back and take ownership of it in your own way, right?
Yeah. And, you know, what we're talking about is like love for baking. I love to bake. I always have. And so that's the other special part. It's not just because I don't have a boyfriend. I'm not married. But I just, the people I love in my life, I want to do nice things and special things for. And so Valentine's is one of those days. It can be any day, but it's special. And when you think about those things and make nice things for people, it means a lot. And I've always loved baking just for that reason. Well, a lot of reasons, because I like to make messes too.
Right.
There's flour everywhere. Not in here.
Exactly.
I didn't bring my flour, guys.
That's true. Thank you for not spreading flour everywhere. But yeah, I think that, you know, this is a really important time to show love in all sorts of different ways, not just the typical Valentine's way, right? Romantic
exactly.
love. So, okay, well, listeners, we're taking your calls today. What is your favorite Valentine's Day story or tradition, with or without a partner? Give us a call, 277-5866. We want to hear from you. Now, joining us by phone is Dadam Khalsa, the owner of the Chocolate Maven, a Santa Fe restaurant and bakery. Good morning, Dadam.
Hi, Ty. Good morning.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you and your spouse started baking and creating chocolate years ago. Now, was this something that you always enjoyed as a couple?
My wife and I, yeah, we started baking in 93. And, yeah, you want to talk about Valentine's and baking together. We used to get up at 4 in the morning and bake everything. And then the business grew and we got up at 3 in the morning and started baking. And then 2 in the morning. And when it got to be midnight, it's like if you have to wake up at midnight to get the baking done. And this was just my wife and I.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd been married at that point for over 10 years, actually. So kind of knew what we were getting into. But if you want to challenge your relationship, get up at midnight, start baking until dawn, and then go deliver it. Yeah,
I agree.
You agree? Do you often get up at midnight as well?
Yes.
Okay. That's the life of the baker.
It's romance, let me tell you.
So how did you go from being two people who created together to professional bakers and chocolatiers?
Other than insanity. Well, we started baking... because we were between jobs. So we didn't even think of it as a job. I had left a position and she was, my wife is the foodie actually. She's very into all kind of flavors. So she had been working for another company. I don't even remember the name of it. It was a health food baking. And we made honey sweetened whole wheat cinnamon rolls. They weren't chocolate. We didn't go near sugar. We didn't go near white flour. And we started selling these to Wild Oats and other places. That kind of grew. And then one day, I mean, it grew. We were making all healthy food, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, it's actually somebody at Wild Oats said, don't you make something sticky, gooey, sugary, chocolatey? And we had to sit down and have this discussion. Is that, are we aligned with this, really? So... Well, we needed the income. So we said, sure. And instantly, I'm telling you, for every 5 honey-sweetened whole wheat cinnamon rolls, we sold 100 of the others. And that's how we got into chocolate.
Right. Why do you think chocolate is so associated with Valentine's Day and love in general?
It's sexy. Chocolate is sexy, right? She's laughing, I hear.
And it's delicious.
Yeah.
I remember the first time somebody gave me chocolate. I was a little kid, probably 5 years old, and it was probably Hershey's, you know. And it melts. The way it melts on your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just feels luscious and lovely. And then, you know, chocolate... mimic some of the same hormones that you create when you are in love. Those same receptors in your brain, in your nervous system, get hit by chocolate. There are actual compounds within the chocolate that are the key that unlock those I'm in love, I feel loved feelings within our beings.
See. So I kind of feel like love of the self should also be an important part of Valentine's Day. Mello and Dadam, do you have something that's a favorite thing to create for yourself? Let's start with you, Mello.
Ooh. Well, to be honest, it's not chocolate, but sourdough.
Yep.
Sourdough starters are really interesting. I've had mine for 15 years now. And I don't use it all the time, but I don't know. It takes some time to create, to grow it.
Oh, we are going to have to go to break. We'll come back to that in just a moment. This is Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM. I'm Ty Bannerman. We are talking about Valentine's Day today, and we want to hear from you. Have you had any memorable Valentine's Days? Were they wonderful or awful? Call us at 277-5866. Share the story with us. We are going to take a quick break.
Support comes from Rothstein Donatelli Law Firm, providing legal advice and representation for Native American tribes, people facing criminal charges, expungement of criminal records, civil rights plaintiffs, and survivors of sexual abuse. RothsteinLaw.com. Il Vicino Wood Oven Pizza Restaurant's contemporary Italian trattorias, serving authentic wood oven pizza, salads, panini-style sandwiches, pastas, and microbrewed ales in Albuquerque, Santa Fe, and at ilvicino.com. Il Vicino proudly supports KUNM.
Times Square in New York City is one of the busiest, noisiest places in the world. But from underneath the city's cacophony, there's a peaceful, ethereal sound, and it's always there. I'm Fred Child. We'll discover the sound art in the Big Apple on the next Performance Today from APM.
Weekday mornings at 9 on KUNM.
Welcome back to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Ty Bannerman. So we were talking about favorite things to make for oneself. Mello was telling us about sourdough bread, and what is it about it that makes it a good thing to make for yourself as an act of love?
Well, it takes a little bit of time, but it's kind of nice because you can like make your dough and let it rise, and it's a process. So even though it takes time, you still have time to do things in between. I love sandwiches, I'm not going to lie. Making your own bread and a sandwich on it, like a BLT, oh heck, it's so good. And then, I love salads too, so you get croutons at the end. Like, I don't know. There's just so many different things that you can do with bread. And I just love the fact that it's like, just the time that it takes to create the sourdough, the starter, to feed it, to make the bread, to let it rise. It's just when you're really like trying to be with yourself and give yourself some time, it's just so therapeutic. And it kind of reminds you like just to give yourself some time and to be nice to yourself, to be nice to your bread. I don't know. That might sound a little silly, but I have to remind myself that all the time.
I don't think that's silly at all. How about you, Dottam? What is your favorite thing to make for yourself as an act of love?
For myself, that's good, Ty. We rest, my wife and I. And it's funny, when I was hearing Mel talk about the sourdough, which I love that, by the way, Mel, that idea, I was just struck me that whatever it is, this Valentine's concept is essentially sharing a feeling of love, right? It's putting it into some kind of action, demonstrated, a letter, a note. The classic Valentine is actually a note. I think that's where it came from, that somebody back in the day gave a little love note and all those little hearts. So this concept of whatever intention that you make the food with, and in the case of Valentine's, the intention is, I love you. And if it's not love, if it's taking time to give yourself, we're always so busy for Valentine. It's a big thing for bakers. And so when it actually comes around to the day after Valentine's, we really take time to rest. And that's kind of a gift, the gift of space, the gift of nothing. And maybe in this day and age of so much doing, where every minute is consumed by one thing or another, the gift of having nothing to do, it's a pretty darn good gift.
Well, we are taking your calls. What is your favorite Valentine's Day treat? Something that you can eat or simply doing nothing? Give us a call at 277-5866 or email us at letstalk@kunm.org and tell us about it. Now, joining me in the studio this morning is Frankie Flores, the director of the UNM LGBTQ Resource Center. Thanks for joining us today, Frankie.
Thank you for having me here.
So, Frankie, tomorrow morning, the Resource Center is going to be sponsoring a Radical Queer Love waffle breakfast. Tell me about this event and how it came to be.
Yeah, so we have done a waffle breakfast every semester for the past 7 years. We make a red chili velvet waffle breakfast. So when y'all were talking about chocolate, I was like, yeah, no, we'll have that. It's great. But it started off as a way for us to celebrate our queer and trans community that we have on campus. And, you know, it's one of the events that a lot of faculty, staff, and students look forward to because we get to be in that space of just being with each other and celebrating each other, which I think that in the trans and queer community is so rare sometimes. And so I like that we are able to create that space. And like Ella was mentioning earlier, you know, we're a big believer that food creates family and food creates community. And so anytime that we are able to feed, especially students who are not at home, and getting a home-cooked meal is so rare, for them to be able to come in and get a waffle that has been made by our own hands is so is an act of love for them. It is an act of kindness for them that I think so often we forget about.
Can you tell me how love is radical or can be radical?
Yeah, I think that, you know, when we look at the history of persecution of trans and queer people across history, choosing to fight against that and choosing to love ourselves and love each other, whether that's romantic or platonic, is so revolutionary and radical. And I think that, you know, historically we have been told that we are supposed to hate ourselves and we're supposed to hate who we are as trans folks, as queer folks, as people of color. And when we refuse that, when we refute that, and when we say that we are going to love ourselves and others, we are fighting against centuries of hatred and violence. And I think that in this time, we need more of that.
Now, I was reading about St. Valentine in preparation for this show, and I found out that one of the legends reported was that he performed secret illegal weddings in the Roman Empire. Do you see radical queer love as kind of consistent with that tradition?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, if you look at medieval Europe, there were tons of queer relationships throughout the continent. And, you know, here on Turtle Island, queerness and transness has always been something that has been around and has been honored and celebrated. And so I think that, like, there is always going to be, we have always existed and we will always exist. And no matter how much you put us in a box, no matter how much you legislate, you know, our bodies, no matter how much you punish us, we will survive. We are a thriving people and we will remain thriving no matter what.
And I know Valentine's week can kind of bring up some rough feelings for people who are, you know, maybe alone or maybe don't want that, like, pressure to be romantically involved.
Yeah.
What kind of resources does the center provide?
So, you know, one of the things that we are very cognizant of is people have a spectrum of how they feel love, express love, and, you know, our asexual and our aromantic community often feel really bogged down by Valentine's Day. And so we talk about asexuality. We're very open about the fact that people are asexual and are aromantic, and that's okay to be. We have student groups that people can come in and express their feelings. We have an amazing counselor who's there on Wednesdays and Thursdays who we can drop in. And also, we do rapid HIV testing every Tuesday. And you think about that, and if you don't think about it as an act of love, but it is, because you are taking care of your own body. You're taking care of your own health. And that, to me, is an act of radical love, because you are in control of knowing your own status, which is so important for all of us to know.
I have a call from Laura in Albuquerque. Good morning, Laura. What would you like to add to the conversation this morning?
You know, I was raised out here in Albuquerque, going to, like, ballet, and I got into fashion and all these kinds of areas where there's a lot of gay men. So that's what I'm going to speak to, is what I know, which is some of the most beautiful mentors, the most beautiful humans I've ever experienced and been taught by and learned how to love life from have been gay men. And I just am always baffled at, you know, the hatred. And it took me a long time to understand what they had gone through. Some of them had been raised in the streets, you know, and they're just the most lit up, vibrant, creative, beautiful people. And I just, you know, the one thing I can only add to this is just I wish some gay man who've been raised or all, I wish anybody who's been, you know, outed by society as not being right could see themselves through other people's eyes and see the value they have and the tremendous gift that they bring to the world. And for me, you know, there were times where I was suicidally depressed about things, and I would just spend 10 minutes with this person who's just, you know, making beautiful music and art and stuff like that. And I would remember why I was alive again. And I just, it's such a gift that is so written off because of the stigma. And I just wish that, in particular, since that's the group I know, that gay men could love themselves in the way that matches the gift that they give to the world, because it so matters. And I'm so sorry that people are still so closed-minded in the 21st century that you even have to deal with this. It's ridiculous. But just remember your light and love yourself, because you're amazing.
Thank you.
Do you have any thoughts on that, Frankie, how people can learn to kind of love themselves even in the face of adversity?
Yeah. You know, I feel so honored to be able to lead the LGBTQ Resource Center and to be able to show up as my holistic self. You know, I personally, I love being queer. I think it's just such an amazing gift. And I've been very fortunate to not feel a lot of hatred for my queerness. I've always been able to celebrate it, and I've always been I was raised in a community where I was able to celebrate that part of myself. But, you know, for anyone who's listening who is queer and hating themselves and wishes that they weren't, you know, just remember that it is a gift that you were given. And it is such, I think it's such an honor. And I think that the hatred that we see and the violence that we see is a result of people fearing that light that we have, fearing that power that we have, that we've had historically. You know, if we look at, you know, again, historically, we look at queer and trans folks, we have been such amazing leaders and such amazing lights in this world. And people are so afraid of that, and they want to extinguish that.
We are taking your calls this morning. Can you think of a time when you experienced love, either for another person or for yourself, that felt radical? How do you reclaim Valentine's Day for yourself? Give us a call, 277-5866. I'd like to go ahead and welcome Lonnie Anderson into the conversation now. This is Lonnie's a great impresario of another important part of the Valentine's Day tradition, the Valentines themselves. Good morning, Lonnie.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Now, we're doing great here today. Now, you have been dubbed by various media publications as the king of Valentine's Day and even the most romantic man in Dubai. Each year, you create spectacular Valentine's displays in honor of your spouse, Anne. So tell me about one of your favorite Valentines, Lonnie.
Wow, one of my favorite Valentines. You know, there's so many of them, but I have to say probably the one that I love the most that I did was I set up a carousel in the front of our front yard in the South Valley, and it was pretty hard to do. It was free, so I actually had to find the guy who had the carousel. I asked to use it. He said no. It costs $100,000. It takes four guys to set up. And his wife was next to him, and she was like, that's the most romantic idea I've ever had. So absolutely, yes. And we both looked at her, and she's like, he gave it to me. It's my carousel. So she came down and set it up. But the most beautiful thing that happened that makes it my favorite one is that that night, you know, the carousel was turning, but a little car pulled into our yard, and it was a tiny family, and a family of four, these two little girls. And And they asked, you know, hey, could we, you know, they only spoke Spanish, so my wife talked to them, and the guy said, oh, I'm so sorry, I thought it was a carnival. And the little girl said, hey, can I ride it? And the man who set it up said, no, no, you can't ride it. It's I don't have insurance. And the girls, if they get hurt, they'll sue me. And his wife came over, and she just opened up the door. And the two little girls ran over and rode the carousel and then hopped back in the car, and they drove away. And my wife said to me, you know, the most beautiful thing that happened tonight isn't that there's a carousel turning in our yard. The most beautiful thing was that those two girls are going to drive by her old vacant lot here with their friends when they're 16, and they're going to say, one magical night, you know, when I was a little girl, we rode a magical carousel in that parking lot. And their girlfriends are going to be like, nah. They're not going to believe them. So that's probably my most favorite one that I did.
Now, I believe most of your Valentine's displays are quite public in nature. Like, you've done 30-foot tall flowers and 100-pound pinatas and that sort of thing. Is there an aspect to these displays that is about also the people who are seeing it more than, you know, something that occurs between two people?
Yeah. You know, first thing I wanted to say is, like, I feel very honored to be on this with these other guests. They're so more articulate and wonderful. So I feel very humbled to be here with you guys. And I just wanted to say that first. Thanks for letting me, you know, be able to share my stuff. But yeah, one of the first idea, you know, reminded me of your last guest was talking, was that, you know, I do these myself as much as I do them for my wife. I mean, they're to heal me. There to make sure that I tell myself that I love me, and that I'm, because I don't think you can love anybody else unless you love yourself. So I think that's first and foremost is what it is. And then, you know, second is for my wife, how much I love her and how much she's my best friend and she takes care of our family. And then last is my community. I live in the South Valley. My daughters were born in the South Valley. One of them was born in the South Valley. My wife was born and raised in the South Valley. And we get a lot of negative, you know, press. And so these are, you know, it's like South Valley man killed in a drive-by. South Valley man, you know, builds giant 30-foot flowers. South Valley man has a crane hoist a 100-pound pinata, you know, South Valley man. And so it's for my community. And my community gets behind me. The guy brought his crane down to hoist my thing, the carousel, all of these people. So yeah, it's to share with people that there's so many beautiful things going on in the world right now, and we're all fixated on these, you know, terrible things. When right around, you know, you just have to look around. It's a balance. It's good and bad.
So it shows that the narrative is more complicated than it might look at first glance.
Oh, I think life is more complicated than, right? I mean, how many people out there, like you're saying, are so sad and you know, because they feel like they're not loved. I mean, it's the most powerful thing you can imagine. I'll give you an example of how powerful it is. I was abandoned as a baby. I was raised in a foster home kind of setting, and I have stepbrothers and stepsisters. I have a brother who was set on fire when he was 5 years old by my stepmom.
Wow, that's awful.
And it's heavy, yeah. He was set on fire for playing with matches. He's been institutionalized a couple of times. But I tell you, the person that he loves the most is his dad, who set him on fire. And that's how powerful love is. That's how powerful it is. I mean, it is nothing that is more powerful than that. It is just amazing. And so, you know, that's what I kind of keep in the back of my mind all the time.
You are listening to Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM. Some people feel left out of this holiday because of a bad breakup, or maybe just the pressure of making a perfect day for your loved one. How do you cope? Call us at 277-5866. That's 277-KUNM. Or you can tweet to us using the hashtag Let's Talk NM, or email letstalk@kunm.org. We will be back in a moment.
On the next Native America Calling, we look at the personal and emotional side of Native history through the fictional work of Northern Cheyenne author Jerry Robinson. The Cheyenne Story, An Interpretation of Courage, is our February Book of the Month, and it'll allow us to take a closer look at the history and culture of Cheyenne people. We hope you'll join us.
Weekday mornings at 11 on KUNM.
KUNM accepts cars from anywhere. If you happen to live in a small mountain town or on the mesas of New Mexico, we'll send a tow truck to your home, no matter where you live. In fact, we accept vehicles running or not from anywhere in the United States. We'll send you a thank you letter and a KUNM membership, plus you'll get a tax deduction. It's easy. Just call 888-KUNM-CAR. That's 888-586-6227.
This is Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Ty Bannerman. We are talking Valentine's Day, the good and the bad, and we are taking your calls. If you have a story to share, give us a ring at 277-5866, and that's in the 505 area code. And if this show is bringing up any tough feelings for you, there is a New Mexico crisis line 24/7, 1-855-662-7474. There's also a warm line that you can call or text, 1-855-466-7100. Now, I have an email from Makani, who says that animals need Valentine's too. She says people can donate blankets or toys to their local shelter or donate their time or money to an organization that focuses on their favorite animal. And she suggests Save the Chimps. Now, Lonnie, I want to go back to you a little bit here and talk about another aspect of your creations. You mentioned that the carousel that was placed in your yard was free, as was the crane that hoisted the 30-foot-tall paper flowers. From what I understand, typically you don't spend more than the cost of a dinner and regular-sized flowers. Is that an important part of your tradition?
Yeah, that's the goal. The goal is to make it, to use creativity. One of the ones that I did is that I wrote out in pebbles and gravel my wife's favorite poem, E. Cummings, I Carry Your Heart. And I was only going to do a couple lines, but I ended up doing the entire poem, and it filled an acre of land. South Valley, and so you could only see it from a helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that one didn't cost me anything, so they range from zero to around $150 is probably the most I've ever spent. If you have like the giant pinata I did, it was a 100-pound pinata, and that was what was hoisted by the crane. And I built giant candy that fell out of it. So there were supplies for paper and glitter and different things. But a lot of the times, my two daughters helped me. You know, they actually have been helping me since they were babies. I dress them up like Cupid, and then they've just been involved. We turned my house into a restaurant. They were a waiter. And last night I did my Valentine already, and my daughter made this amazing dinner and brought it to us. And it was like, it's like you don't have to spend money. You really don't. You could do it for free. Like the rock one was, again, one of my favorite ones. And it was just rocks in a yard.
We often think of Valentine's Day as a very kind of consumerist holiday, one where it counts how much you spend, by a diamond or something like that. I mean, is there an element of what you do that's almost like a statement against that?
I don't really like to do like statement or try to say anti this. Somebody who never gave a Valentine before might buy a $4 Valentine at Walgreens and give it to somebody, And that person has never done that before. And that might be the most beautiful thing that that person has ever done. And the person who gets it realizes that that's the most beautiful thing. So it really can be, you know, it's whatever you can do, what you're capable of. I always say, if you don't cook, cook something. If you don't draw, draw something. If you don't know how to make anything, make something. Because even if it's just like, it comes out terrible, it's so beautiful to the person you're giving it to, you know?
Get outside your comfort zone.
Yeah.
We have a call from Randa in Santa Fe. Good morning, Randa. What would you like to add today?
Good morning. Well, I just heard your gentleman that spoke about being a foster child and being abandoned. And right before that, I was thinking, you know, I should give this program a call. I'm a first mother, or in the old language, a birth mother. I had to give up my baby girl at birth. I had absolutely no money, no way to raise her. And I was told she'd have a better life if I gave her up for adoption. And that just carrying her and bringing her into the world and feeling such profound love for her. And it's 45 years later, and she and I have a relationship, and that love that I have always carried in my heart for her has never diminished one bit from the time that I brought her into the world. And I just want to say to adopted people, I know they suffer from a lot of rejection, abandonment, and feeling unloved. And, you know, usually the mother loves their child very much, and they don't have the means to raise them. And also, if they try to find their mother and their mother is not able to have a relationship with them, it's usually a sense of overwhelm, and they can't deal with it, and they can't unlock their heart that's been buried for all those years. But it is the most profound love, I feel, and maybe that's hurts for somebody who feels abandoned to hear, but it's really not about I gave you up because I didn't love you. I have no means to provide food for you or housing or raise you. So I just want to put that out there in love for all the people that have not been able to grow up with their mother, and that's pretty much it. So I just wanted to share that love, put that out there today.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. I think that's really important for people in that situation to know. And Lonnie, I'd like to kind of ask you a little bit about how sharing love becomes a healing experience.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you for that call. That was, you know, that it takes a ton of courage. You know, you, especially in the adopted community, you realize like, wow. And that's the thing, is being an adopted kid or being an abandoned kid, you realize like, you know, I always tell the story, like, if I could go back and my mom would, I had the choice that she, instead of giving me to the nurse and them taking me to the orphanage or keeping me and raising me, I would have, if I had the choice, I would still like go to the orphanage because I have so many beautiful, amazing, incredible people in my life, including my birth mom, that I couldn't give that up. I couldn't, there's no way I could ever give that up. So that's it. And yeah, I think making Valentine's, my wife hates the media. She hates TV. She hates to be interviewed. She does not want to be interviewed. I've been on TV like probably like 23 times. She does not want to be interviewed anymore. And, but you know, she understands that like I do it, a lot of it for myself, you know, to heal myself, to make sure that I understand that I am loved and that I'm a loving person and remind me how powerful it is.
Well, thanks, Lonnie. And we're going to switch gears and kind of build off this idea of love for a community. And I'd like to welcome one more special guest this hour. It is Khalil Ekulona, who has been hosting KUNM's new podcast, Your New Mexico Government. Thanks for joining us this morning, Khalil.
Thanks for having me.
You know, let's talk about the love of community. Would it be fair to call this podcast a love letter to New Mexico?
You could, in many ways, let's call it a flirt letter with New Mexico, more so than love, because it primarily focuses on politics, and there's so many things about New Mexico to fall in love with. You can flirt with the politics and
flirt with
think
politics.
About it later. Yeah,
I love it. Well, we brought you on this morning at the end of the show just because we are in the last full week of the legislature, and we want to let people know about this opportunity to stay informed about the things that are going on at the Roundhouse. Each day on the podcast, you're interviewing a journalist who's covering some bills or issues. What do you love the most about hosting Your New Mexico Government?
What I love the most is the opportunity to learn. I'm from just outside of Baltimore, and I've lived in New Mexico for 10 years, and I've been able to do some work in media, through Good Day New Mexico, that was formerly on KOB4. I got to meet a lot of business people and travel across the state and meet folks, which is wonderful. But I never really knew too much about local state politics and how the operation works, who are the players, what are the issues. You would hear about things at work, at dinner, or at a bar, or just socially with friends. But no one really understood the nuances and the details of what certain issues were. This is a chance for me to learn that. But also, as I learn, my audience learns. There may be people who are well-versed and experts on this, but a lot of the comments I've been getting since we've launched the podcast is, I didn't know this. And these are from people who were born and raised in the state and who care very much about the politics and issues and what happens. And they call themselves pretty well-informed, and there's a lot that they're discovering and learning. So I think it's a way for, particularly since I've lived in a lot of different places in the country, I've never been to a place where people have as much pride about where they're from as New Mexico. So I think it would behoove them to, if you have that pride, you add on to that pride with a deep knowledge about what's going on with New Mexico. And I think we're able to provide that.
What's your favorite thing that you've learned while doing these interviews?
The favorite thing that I've learned, I was a political scientist, graduated college with that degree and other things. The favorite thing I've learned is a lot of these problems that we have in the state are cyclical. And I know people are listening like, that's your favorite thing that you've learned? And I'm like, yeah.
Maybe favorite's not the right word.
It is, because it's fascinating to me. I'm like, these are cyclical problems that have been coming up for years that for both sides of the aisle, the state lawmakers have developed a very adept skill at kicking things down the road.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a full punt. It can be a half punt. They do that a lot. And I'm thinking that there are some pretty clear solutions to the problems that we have institutionally. And there's an opportunity for New Mexico truly to be like a beacon for the rest of the country of governance, transparency, energy, so many realms, because the rest of the country looks at New Mexico last for a lot of things. And the benefit of that comes from, you're not paying strict attention to us. We can work on some things without necessarily worrying about the influence of other places. So
what's an example of one of those things that we could kind of take the reins on and become a leader in?
Solar power and energy. Totally. Completely. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's New Mexico, 300 days of sun a year. Years ago, a friend of mine was thinking about getting into the solar business and asked me to do some research. And this is in 2013. The research that I pulled up said that New Mexico was number two next to Arizona for potential to collect solar energy. Now, I know through doing the podcast that the solar market is growing out here. But can you imagine a state where not only the state and city and local municipal buildings are run by solar power, but a majority of the homes in this state, particularly in the rural areas, which are kind of inflicted to be in poverty, are run by solar power. Can you imagine a state where there's basically free Wi-Fi across the entire state? Like, I think in doing that report and learning some of the moves that are being made here, New Mexico has an opportunity to kind of be a Star Trek type of state and really do some interesting, wonderful things.
We have a spaceport.
We have a spaceport. We've got Los Alamos Labs. I love Los Alamos. I call it Stranger Things, a beautiful mountain town with secret government stuff underneath. But like, New Mexico has such an opportunity to lead because there's not, and I hope this isn't too long of an answer, but there's not too much infrastructure in certain things where other states would have to tear down to build. New Mexico can just build. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Any like lesser known bills that we, you know, with a lot of media attention's going to, like the red flag gun law or the recreational marijuana, which just I think died in committee last night or something like that.
Yeah,
what are some lesser known bills that you think are important for people to keep their eyes on?
One is there is an energy tax credit that I believe passed. I don't have my notes in front of me. A tax credit you get for buying or leasing an electric vehicle. You get quite a good personal tax credit for that, and you get an additional tax credit for installing one in your house. Now, I know that not everybody can afford the electric vehicles that could come out, but I see a lot of Subarus on the road. So I tend to think that people get into modes. That's something that's very important. They are looking into kind of working on certain regulation commissions that are... They haven't been operated fully. Mm-hmm. They haven't been operating well. They're looking into a lot of regulation. I don't want to go out and decry any organization of being corrupt, but it has, according to journalists and other people, there's a couple regulation commissions that have shown corrupt tendencies that are really getting looked at. Another law that was passed recently, just got out of committee, is when the state makes settlements, personal settlements with folks. If you get injured by the state and you made a settlement in the past, that information wasn't made public for 180 days. And if anyone did make it public, they made it a crime. Well, it's no longer a crime to make that public, and they are changing that to where there's a lot more transparency. There's much more transparency push going on right now.
Now, one more question going back to the theme of the episode. And just real quick here, what sort of Valentine's Day plans do you have besides recording another episode of Your New Mexico Government?
Definitely going to record another episode of Your New Mexico Government. Okay, so a Valentine's thing that I like to do is I like to call my mom and let her know that she's my Valentine, that I love her. I'll hang out with my cat. At the moment, there is no amorous interest in my life, but I have been showing self-love. So whatever I do Friday, I'm going to have fun and I'm going to enjoy myself.
How do we find your podcast?
You find my podcast, you go to KUNM.org. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Well, that is all we have time for today. Thank you to everyone who called in to share your thoughts and feelings about Valentine's Day. Thank you so much to our guests, Melo Sanchez of Over the Moon Macarons. And I believe we have an emergency truffle recipe on our website. That you created. So if people have last minute need to make some truffles, and I feel like everybody should really. Thank you to Dadam Khalsa of the Chocolate Maven, Lonnie Anderson and Frankie Flores, the director of the LGBTQ Resource Center at UNM. Let's keep this conversation going. Share your thoughts on Twitter, hashtag #LetsTalkNM. On Facebook, just search for KUNM Radio or email letstalk@KUNM.org. If you missed the show, you can stream it online or subscribe to our podcast. I'm Ty Bannerman. Our engineer is Marino Spencer. Taylor Velasquez screened your calls. Bryce Dix live-tweeted the show today, and Hannah Colton produced. This is Let's Talk New Mexico, 89.9 KUNM. Okay.